It's been a long time since we've been here.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been here at Pebble Hill. That's right, where it all started. Like the universe started. It was the Big Bang actually occurred pretty much around on this campus, I think. Pebble Hill Church.
I was sitting on a bench. Ground zero
for the Big Bang. And we're there.
I was sitting on a bench the other day with them and it said St. Peter's Playground. I'm like, this isn't Earth. This is just St. Peter's Playground. Like,
same.
This is funny. I don't know what to say. This isn't Earth.
No point in calling it Earth. That never helped anybody. All right. What do you got? I mean, you want me to make some shit up, or you have anything?
Maybe Tucker has something.
Maybe Tucker has something.
He's like, there's no snacks?
No snacks?
This is the bonus beer. What part is this?
So I was talking to my my acupuncturist. It's good to have people to talk to. And yeah, and if you're paying them, it's even better because they're obligated to listen to you.
Walk away.
That's right. And she said when she was going through acupuncture school in the five element tradition, the instructor referred to her as mind or small intestine meridian. Remember, you know, Asian acupuncture is different than five element acupuncture, which has, you know, other kind of interesting call it spiritual elements to it, and the ethers, you know, the whatever, are a little different in five elements. So it has some interesting cosmic kind of twists to it. She said that her instructor referred to her as small intestine, or what was called mind. And the bottom line there was that depending on your principal, well, in Ayurveda, you'd call it dosha. In five, you'd call it your, you know, prevailing element. Or, you know, in this case, humor, which was small intestine, mind. So that's, let's just say that's your kind of life karma puzzle, right? That's, you know, kind of a fundamental way in which you're constructed. And therefore your, let's say, challenges of, you know, living and understanding and stuff like that are going to all present through that primary element or humor. So for her, mind, small intestine slash mind was the insistence on knowing, or the insistence on figuring out, the right to know. And so, you know, mind gets activized, of course, by, you know, creating a referential world or a referential view that mind thinks is secularly legitimate. It doesn't see that it's the one that's generating the referential view. So the underlying conundrum then of mind is abject confusion, which mind doesn't see itself as being confused. And she was remarking, the acupuncture was remarking, and we were both laughing, that she just denied being confused at all, ever, to this instructor. And the instructor was trying to point out to, like, that's your puzzle. You think you've got this, but what you're really dealing with is the profound level of confusion. Recognize mind has you so snafu'd. And it was a telling and challenging adventure for her through that education.
I wonder if confusion, maybe she didn't get it because she didn't see it as confusion.
That's right.
I mean, the word maybe is a little leaning one way that she wasn't taking it. It's like...
Well, that's the puzzle. So
misunderstanding or something.
The puzzle there is like my sense of the world and my construction of that world is anything when the reality is it's absolute confusion. But that humor tricks itself, right? And so then the behavioral predilection, could be the imagination of assurance or surety, or having it together, not being confused, right? Applying oneself mentally to keep this imaginary persona operating. The last thing on its mind, pun intended, is the recognition of its own absolute confusion. So the catharsis then for that, life adventure is to become, more friendly, if not admiring, of absolute confusion, rather than to dedicate oneself, in a sense, superficially, pretending that I got this. So that was our little spiritual koan for that particular, needling session. I thought it was pretty poignant. Yeah. Now, you take that metaphor into the Longchenpa zone. The Longchenpa zone is a reference to what the fuck is this? And if it's anything, since it hurts so much, is it possible to be liberated? I mean, really, bottom line. All the flashing aside, it's like, shit, what is this? Another wave is like, who am I? What's the nature of experience? Right? What's going on? Is there an orientation that could be had about the nature of experience that's not being, force-fed by conformist reality? By the myth of, right, this being ground zero, Pebble Hill being ground zero for the Big Bang. We're generally not that fond of, asking even the most, you could say, obvious of questions. Like, who am I? What is this? What's happening? Why, when, where, how? What's the takeaway? What's the implication? Can I know anything at all? Do I know anything at all? Can the acquisition of, knowledge, which is all referential, provide me with, tools for not just, let's say, survival or tools of civilization, but if one is so wired, tools of liberation. And amongst, the many, namely the 7.5 billion, few of whom I've actually met.
There are that many now, 7.5 billion?
Oh, yeah, I think it's teeter. Yeah, it's around, yeah, right. I think it's tapped out, yeah.
It's starting to die off really early, though.
Yeah, the die-off's cool. That's right. I mean, they've just made vaccines mandatory in Italy, so that's going to up. That'll up the die-off. No problem there. But the, is one dwelling in one's life, surfing one's life, coping with one's life, getting the most from one's life, in a, could we say, truly satisfactory manner. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't met many of the 7.5 billion, right? But just a small sample, as a matter of fact, white Judeo-Christians. All I got is a couple of white Judeo-Christians, so I got, schmutz. I've been to India, so I met a few of them. Those are nice people, by and large. So that's the deal. What up?
Well, it's difficult when you have presuppositions, which is what I think your acupuncturist was dealing with, so that it actually is sort of beyond questioning or before questioning or something. Like, it doesn't even get looked at.
Yes. So, I mean, that's the, if I can make a grandiose accusation of the most of the 7.5 billion that I haven't met, that's the, right,
yeah.
Kind of an underlying, attribute of, consciousness as a creature. There's not even a question.
And
And it's probably something that they didn't actually try to figure out ever.
That's just it. No question is asked. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. You're born, if that's the case, you know, into whatever conditions you're born into, if that's the case. And your level of, let's say, education, exposure, you know, nourishment, the religious system you're expected to follow, the cultural, racial, gender,
political propaganda,
medical propaganda, industrial propaganda, right? Fake news, real news, propaganda. You're a product of the propaganda that you're exposed to. I mean, your fundamental nature is kind of has a kind of spark to it,
yeah.
Right? Your fundamental nature has a spark, but the way that you organize the so-called world and or your role in that world is propagandized, right, from the get-go. And that is, you could say, frustrating, unconsciously or semi-consciously frustrating. Because you're a product of a propaganda machine, depending on, you know, your cultural milieu, your socioeconomic class, right, what you're raised on, the media that you're exposed to, whether you're under a so-called pluralistic democratic society, I don't think there's any of those left, or whether you're under, you know, one or other form of a fascistic, you know, dictatorship. Then you're a product of, you know, misery. Really, you're a product of civilization, and civilization is a product of misery. That doesn't keep us from fornicating and, you know, taking out that 7.5 billion line. And though the amount of so-called population expansion is slowing, according to the people that may have met more than my share of the 7.5 billion that shake hands and say, are you stooping more or less lately? And people say, well, less lately. And say, well, okay, then the rate of population growth is slowing. We have a tendency to be un- or semi-consciously limited by the permission that we give ourselves to dream. And we don't see the boundary condition that our own consciousness is functioning under. And we, of course, quarrel with that boundary condition. And, you know, crave for something other, deeper, higher, better, more satisfying, more whatever.
You know, it seems to me that most of my time is pretty well prescribed, you know, and it's not that much time when I'm left to my fancy.
Yeah.
I mean, I injected probably more than most people, or I allowed to show up more than many people that I know. But
unscheduled consciousness?
Well, unscheduled freedom, you know, roaming.
Yeah, right.
But it just seems to me that there's so much of time that is pretty automatic, and it's just like your ism just doing its thing.
Yep.
And so it's this little of this consciousness of this very partial part. If we can bring time into it, maybe that's wrong, but that's not appropriate. You know?
Well, you know, pick and choose anything you like to, you know, dream out loud. What else is this doing? Absence, dreaming. Making it appear as if, you know, you're a product of or an object in a sea of objects, imbued with something we could refer to as sentience, which could be mistaken for individuation and self-will. And that's where the deepest, let's say, frustrations occur as a consequence of individuation and self or free will. Yeah. Right. Because then one's sense of whatever this is, I'll say suffers from or has to grapple with the split that is created in or by mind between this and not this, this and not this. And that's it. Then there's a problem. If there's this and not this, right? That's the creatureification of what we could refer to as consciousness. Blame it on the bossa nova. Now, if we're traveling a so-called spiritual path, if we are, even just for fun or show off to our friends, it doesn't even have to be that serious. If we are, then, you know, invariably we're going to come up with cosmologies, accoutrements, practices, trinkets, methods,
understandings.
Opinions, yeah. I mean, the whole gamut just comes streaming in like.
Show and tell.
That's right. That's right.
Exclamations.
Exclamations. The whole deal. Yeah. Right. So, because we are, this is, whatever sentience might be, obviously has a tendency to be expressive. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's, you know, it's show and tell 24/7. Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the same, right? This is show and tell. And so if we're whatever that means, here, whatever that means, well, we're going to be, you know, a product of or a contributor, an enjoyer or a sufferer of show and tell.
And then I show up, you tell.
That's one way it looks. Yeah. And more intimately, it's, you know, the perturbation of your own streaming experience. Show and tell. Without even having a strong, you know, spiritual or political opinion about anything. It's still the remarkable show and tell, just the perturbation of what we refer to as experience. Occurring however it occurs, to whomever it's occurring to, if there is any one that it is occurring to. What's the nature of whatever this might be? So if I, or if any of us come to a, let's say a too rapid conclusion, a too rapid conclusion about what this actually might be, well then, right, you've joined the political party of conformist reality, regardless of what your leanings are.
But don't we just naturally, we're full of conclusions the whole way down the road, and now we're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I was making assumptions.
Yes.
And
right.
Know, mm-hmm. But it's kind of like reverse engineering. It's like.
No, in a sense it is. I mean, if you look at Vipassana, I don't think anyone that, you know, teaches it or practices it would have even the slightest quarrel with the metaphor of reverse engineering. I mean, it's very deliberate reverse engineering. You know, it's like, what is the body? Am I the body? Am I these sensations? Am I these emotions? Am I these thoughts? Am I time, space, right? So it is a deliberate form of reverse engineering what's appearing as perturbations in a so-called field. And then the loyalty that we give to those perturbations. And so it's a deliberate dismantling process, referred to in casual circles as insight meditation. And the insights, if they come, and it doesn't matter if they do, because they're never really that important anyway. You know, we make a big deal about, oh, I had an insight. It was like, oh, too bad. You know, but okay, you know, if you're in the Vipassana game, you're kind of an insight-oriented, practitioner. So those insights do occur, and they occur, you could say, in some harmony with the reverse engineering of associating anything at all with what raw experiencing might actually be. And that's the nature of, that's the freedom path of Vipassana. Thoughts, excuse me, right? Sensations, excuse me. Emotion, excuse me. Implication, excuse me. Not me, not me. And so the yoga of not me through that kind of inquiry, right? Engagement, will for sure produce insight. Will it produce liberation? Jury's out. Insight, no question. Liberation, well, we'll just have to wait and see. And what is liberation? Well, fuck if I know. You can't refer to liberation, you know, from an objective, subjective point of view. You can't use the language of reference, right? Which is the language of mind, the language of objects, to refer to what realization might be. Because if realization is, let's just say, kind of a happy little beyond, the implication of language, the implication of objects and pointing, what are you going to say about it?
Well, I deal with that constantly.
You deal with it constantly. And I don't think you're alone.
Working at it.
Yeah, I'm working on it, yeah, right. I'm working on it. Yeah. There's a let's just say a reflex, a knee jerk. Here's this so-called field of perturbation, sensation, experience. Whew! I mean, it's crazy, man. Even if I live a routine life, it's still crazy. And then there is not that, and then there's no really and then. Whatever shows up just shows up as a kind of a spontaneous entirety. You can't really parse it by saying, well, because of this, then this, then this, then this, and then I was like this, this, this. So if I, quote, reverse engineer it, I should be able to get all the way back to where nothing's happening at all. Well, good luck with that. You know, why not? Try it. Go give it a whirl. Get back to where nothing's happening at all by reverse engineering what appears to be happening. And using a tool like Vipassana to disengage from, right, personal presumption about the nature of experience. Anything that's gradual, like, what was his name? Stephen, the guy that died. Noah's dad. His kind of popular book in that genre was called A Gradual Awakening. Levine, Divine. Yeah. Noah Levine is his punk Buddhist cool son that has become. Sorry about that. Ralph Waldo Emerson, no. Thomas Alva Edison, no. A Gradual Awakening. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. It's not true, but it's a nice, it's nice. What is mind love to do? Well, obviously the only thing it can do. And the only thing it can do is tell stories about stories. Mind is just a movement of, subtle or gross, willful or involuntary, that comes in, kind of after the fact or on top of or underneath the raw data of perturbations in so-called consciousness.
Well, you can feel it also like process itself.
Absolutely.
It clears things out, and you couldn't find them if you try, and then other, it's just processing the data.
Yep.
Moving things.
A very polite way of saying, I'm crazy. And even the, you know, lucid observation of this processing itself, is it processing itself?
Yeah.
I mean, we're like, you're toast. Yeah. You really can't come up with a binding lucid observation about what this is doing, because that's what this is doing. You can't stand outside of it and say, whoa, look at what it's doing.
No.
You can't, because every gesture you make is
trying to do.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, the typical, let's just say, puzzle of the seeker, were there a seeker, is that, you know, I want to get a leg up on this. I want to be able to observe through my lofty height or my, you know, simple cushion with beginner's mind, what the fuck is this? And see if I can come up with an observation that pegs or elucidates or, you know, gives me something or other. Now, that's the same delusion as my, you know, acupuncturist. That's the delusion of small intestine, or the delusion of mind, is that it imagines that it can actually take a position outside of itself as a symptom and then remark upon shit as if it's no longer a symptom. Fuck you. You can't do it. And it's not because you're not enlightened. That has nothing to do with it. It just can't be done. It just can't be done. But you see, as long as that fundamental identity, which is involuntary and has no cause, I mean, you know, is it dependent origination? Is it Big Bang? Is it nature? Is it nurture? Bullshit. The fundamental sense of identity is involuntary and has no cause. It's a fucking causal. Now you're toast, because you're like, well, how did I get to be like this? Nobody knows. That you're an asshole, we all agree. But how you became one, nobody knows. How did I get to be like this? I don't know. Obviously, it's...
Let's count the ways.
Let's count the ways. Right, right. It loves me, it loves me not. It loves me, it loves me not. That's right. Consciousness is dead. Long live consciousness. So, let's just say a kind of release might start to percolate up when the habit of acquisition, which is a story told about a story told about a story told about a story that happens to include me. Me being a story about a story about a story and about a story that is a causal. You know, it's like that Star Trek episode, the old one with Mud. And Mud had all those wives, and they were all robots. They were pretty tough robots. And, you know, Kirk and his pals were kind of incarcerated with Henry Mudd and the robot wives, but Spock came up with a great idea that asked one of the robot wives some kind of, you know, basically paradoxical question that the robot mind couldn't deal with, and she literally went chilled and smoke came out of her ears. And that's how they outsmarted, you know, the robot wives that were holding them captive. And I don't mean this in a gender way. I didn't write the script. But it was, you could say, an insightful utilization of paradoxical implication that fried the circuits of the, right, robot captors, regardless of their gender. And that's what we have to do. if you want to wake up, and I don't know what that means or why you'd want to do it, that's your problem. But if you do, you're going to have to pull a Spock on this. You're going to have to somehow intuit, somehow attune, somehow nothing at all, because no effort is required. How could you possibly? What magical tools are you going to use to outsmart this shit, since you're a fucking symptom? Nothing, man. You got nothing.
Well, it seems like the koan was the one magical tool that...
Yeah. Yes, it's the koan of this present experience. This is the koan. This is it. This is the, if it were a gateway, And thankfully it's not. But if it were, it's both the gateway to confusion. You know, the acupuncturist imagining she's not. Right? I imagine I'm not confused. That's ultra confusion. Confusion and just call it whatever, not confusion. But not confusion is not a state. Not confusion is not the wisdom. Not confusion is not confusion, or beyond confusion is you got nothing. You got nothing. You don't have a thing. That you could say is the revelation, right, of a quality of intelligence that is not befuddled. And here it is. Curiously, that which one might be seeking, if you're smart enough or unfortunate enough to be a seeker. You know, the jury's out whether you're smart enough or unfortunate enough. But here it is. Here's the, call it the living, expressive, sentient paradox of perturbations in a field about which endless stories can be and are seemingly told that make it appear as if you're fucking here. That make it appear as if you're here. You're not. There's no here here. But that reflex of individuation that pretends to be, make this all about self, or self all about this, however it goes, is an absolute hallucination. You want to say, well, a physical sensation is responsible for, you know, the I, right? The great I am, like the Wizard of fucking Oz, is responsible for, you know, I. The Big Bang, ground zero. What? Tell me what? What? What do you got? What did the Buddha have? What did Ramakrishna have? What did Nirsagadatta have? What did Krishnamurti have? What did Longchenpa have? What the fuck did they have that they could possibly say, well, this is because of that? Ungats. That's what they had. Ungats. Guess what? You're in good you're in good shape. You ride high with the highest names in the business because you got ungats too. He used to think, well, the Buddha had an advantage, you know, grew up in a palace, you know, da 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 da, fasted, did all, stood on his head, you know, so and so had an advantage, born of a divine parentage, you know, so and so had a bullshit. What did they have? Ungats. What do you got? Same. Just because unusual personalities show up, you know, within the field of human culture that one might call divine, sacred, saintly, enlightened, da 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 da, that's their problem. The worship of those, you know, odd mutants, that's my problem. Why do I make their problem my problem by worshiping it? It's ungots all around. If we pretend to give a shit goddamn about someone else's experience, who do we really care about? My experience. What the fuck? Oh, I really care how you're feeling. Because it somehow shines a light on, you know, how I'm feeling. Otherwise, I don't give a shit about, you know, I can't even possibly give a shit about how you're feeling.
My thoughts and prayers are with
you. Thank you.
If there's one statement that just the most grating thing ever.
Yeah.
It's that.
Okay.
I'm trying to show you I'm a caring individual.
Beth's two aunts, one of them remains, were very sincere about, you know, praying for me. Yeah. I mean, I think it worked out.
Mm-hmm. They were praying for you for what? Like that the devil would be released from your soul?
Yeah, shit like that. Yeah. No, I mean, they meant it in a very affectionate, you know, way. But the first conversation we had, me and the spinster Christian aunts, the Christian spinster ants. Is that like a dance group? Dancing with the Stars. Yeah, right. The Christian spinsters. These are Beth's ants. Two ants, one's still living. The other one prayed for me, and look what happened. Don't pray for me. No, it's not going to work out for you. But, we got into it kind of fun. You know, non-dualist middle-class Jew from Long Island fencing with, you know, Irish Catholic gals from the east side. Right? The northeast Philly.
You should run.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a fun conversation. It was a long time ago. But they decided that they would pray for me, and I think that worked out.
16 years ago.
If you can find someone that is, you know, of faith, and if they agree to pray for you, just accept it. Just say yes. You never know, you know, what kind of gifts might come.
Look at you now.
Just look at me now. Yeah. Thriving. Thriving in Ungots. Yeah.
I think you're wearing orange.
That's right. Well, I was feeling kind of renunciate. I was kind of in a renunciate mood today. So I went ochre. Yeah, that too. So this is the fun part. Talk very intimately about one's present so-called sensibility. What is the nature of present sensibility? Consciousness, sentience, processing, availability, experiencing. Whoa, 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 whoa. I mean, if we were really telling the truth, it would be whoa, 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 and you'd never stop. I mean, you would die. You would die, you know, because you'd go hungry and you'd probably stop breathing at some point because whoa, 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 oh my God, whoa, whoa, because it's, I mean, experiencing is actually that way. Oh my gosh, Jesus, oh, what the fuck, oh God, whoa, I don't even know where to feel. I don't even know where to look. I don't even know what to do. I mean, I have to dumb this shit way down to pretend to be functional. You have to dumb this shit way down, make it about you, just to appear to be functional. Otherwise, it's, oh, 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 whoa, 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 whoa. And it never stops. Really. So what is the remarkable nature of the sensibility? It doesn't have to be sensible. That is like, holy shit! See how easily we forget, habituate to, disregard the absolute nature of total incomprehensibility. And then we go like the small intestine, make shit up so that I can establish a so-called foothold in the midst of whoa, 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 that makes it look like personal durability, personal duration, a cosmology that I'm, you know, that I belong to, that I believe in. Praise the Lord. What the fuck?
It's all basically comes down to like taking care of this too. It's just all body, you know, feed this, make money for this.
Yeah.
God is kind of, you know, relatable to being taken care of in some way.
Right.
Maybe as an extroverted soul, but still.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Feed it, bathe it, clothe it.
Pray for it.
Pray for it. And then act out.
Wipe its butt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I can't even get those right.
I hear you. Yeah. Yeah. Some of the things that, like, you know, we might take for granted, not everyone has that down. You don't know if that's grace or a problem. Who knows? Is it grace or a problem that I can't even get the most basic shit together? I don't know. If you're a creature, it's a problem. if this is nothing at all, it might look like grace.
Might not be so bad.
Might not be so bad. And it is a little scary, with all due respect, that one that feels competent as a creature has to at some point, you know, through illness, through trauma, through life experiences, through spiritual epiphany, might have to come to terms with an inability to even carry, you know, the baseline with grace. Wow. Everyone thinks, oh yeah, I want to be enlightened. Oh yeah, hey, I want to be enlightened. Oh, I've read this and gone there and seen this and retreated here, and I've Longchenpa, Krishnamurti, I've seen so and so and so and so, and I even work on this asshole's website, and I'm really plugged into the enlightenment thing, man. I'm like so plugged in,
woke.
Right? I've seen Roger Castillo,
their money and their food, and they're like,
you know,
what?
I've met James Stroll. I should really be a shoo-in for this. But no one really wants to lose baseline. Nobody wants to pay the fee for erasure. So enlightenment then is seen, realization is seen as, of course, as an accoutrement. An accoutrement of understanding, an accoutrement of insight, an accoutrement that will, you know, provide the greatest salve mankind, womankind, this kind can ever know. Invulnerability, emotional stability, I hate using the word compassion, equanimity, you know, shit like that. We think that enlightenment or something is an accoutrement of self. Hi. Good luck with that. And if it's not, if whatever a change in consciousness might be that compromises my baseline, guess how far I'm going to run? Guess how quick and how far I am going to run away from that? Pretty quick, pretty far. Pretty quick, pretty far. Mind goes to fancy instantaneously before you could even say, I've gone to fancy again. That's how quick. Mind goes to fancy faster than you can quarrel with that reflex. Now what are you going to do? If you're the product of fancy, if you're the product of, you know, multi-tiered storytelling about nothing that actually happened, then you're a product of just way, way too much. Without even recognizing that you're the product of way, way too much, so now you are on the hamster wheel of, you know, storytelling, perturbation. Yeah, figuring something out. Taking that baseline competency and monetizing it. I'm going to take this baseline competency, what little it remains, and I'm going to monetize it all the way to the grave. And, you know, if they do my marker right, it'll say, that fucking guy took his baseline competency and monetized it all the way to the grave. Woo! Big thumb. There's going to be a big thumb. Yeah. I remember when my dear friend Alan Steinfeld, you know, I was fucking with him, he was fucking with me. That's what dear friends do. So I sent him a gravestone, a picture of a gravestone with his name on it. I mean, in big letters. And it said something about, you know, a guy that was spiritual. You know, just some little quirky. He got upset. I'm like, that was easy. That's the Staples button. That was easy. You see what happens? He got upset. Hey, don't put my name on a gravestone. Don't make fun of my, you know, spiritual accomplishments. That's not funny. Oh, really?
You crossed the line.
You just crossed the line. The line. That's right. I'm like that.
You don't walk the line.
I don't walk it. I cross it.
Yeah. So you see, that's where the great spiritual heroism of my dear friend Alan got tested in the most innocent of manner, with just plastering his name on a gravestone. It was like he wasn't spiritual anymore. At least not right then. What does it take? James Stroll went down like a, you know, like toilet paper. Fuck. Hey, that's not about love. What is? But enough about them. What about me? How do I, whatever I is, good luck figuring that out. Where's my line? Where's my line of, you know, can I be insulted and challenged and demeaned and, you know,
poor.
Where do I start to get upset?
Well, that's what auditing is all about, I think.
Yes, good point. This is now a Scientology group.
They train people. But that's different. I mean, that's
well, like, it's easily, yeah, yeah.
It's like the shield.
That's right. That's right. It's not. You don't want to be conditioned, whether by Scientology or positive thinking or whatever, to make it appear as if you have become imperturbable. Because that's not going to work. That's got nothing to do
that's
with this.
Fake it.
Totally fake it. Fake it till you make it. I'm going to sign up for Scientology, audit the shit out of me. All of my psychic and, you know, behavioral vulnerabilities will end up on tape. That'll be no good. Then they'll have me for life because I don't want to be embarrassed. And, you know, they'll take whatever cash I have at the threat of, you know, releasing my auditing tapes to, you know, Tom Cruise and his family.
So, yeah,
that. Oof. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I this is fake news. That's what it is. You know, even happy, right? Like, people are like, oh, you know, I want to be, like, peaceful and spiritual and happy. And I want to be, like, you know, like that more. You're like, that sounds great. But... You see, all of those are symptoms of a myth, right? They're symptoms of, you know, identification, symptoms of physicality, symptoms of time, symptoms of the creature. Listen, if you want to be something, because you are complicit. You're complicit in the myth of yourself.
And it'll keep you busy.
It does keep you busy. Yeah. It does keep you busy.
What a strange way to put it. Complicit. I mean, it sounds like there's two of you.
Well, how many you got? Right? The nature of that, call it root sensibility, which is, oh, shit. Whoa, boy. What the F? You know, that's kind of, in a sense, that's a transcendent, if not transient, capacity of the recognition that experiencing is occurring. That's not you. That's not marred by or colored by your, you know, your shithouse personality. or all the wonderful things that you've turned out to be. No, that raw root, oh my God, sentient, you know, Wonderfield is not conditionable, and yet you appear in it too. You as a composition, a shitty composition, like an eighth grade composition on LSD. You're appearing as a composition in that ineffability. So yeah, it always feels like there's two. That's the fundamental split between this and other. The root, It's just bliss. The root is bliss. But then the story appears in the root, and that's you. So you can't help but to be schizophrenic. I want some peas, and I'd like to have a little bit of, you know, that.
Chocolate cake.
I'd like to stop smoking so much pot, but I'd like to help people in foreign countries, and I love the Buddha, but I might be more of a Christian. But I'd like a little peas. Like,
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
I would like peace later.
I want peace later, because like now, like, you know, I'm smoking. Too funny. Well, that's the thing about the so-called gradual awakening. As true as it is as false as it is. Here's fun. This doesn't need to be awakened to. Duh. And I think that's where, you know, our dear friend Longchenpa, you know, rides into town, right? On a purple unicorn. This doesn't need to be awakened to. Take that.
Being awakened clearly is indicating that that's happening to someone, right?
It is a problem.
Yeah.
That is a problem. That's right. Because any measure, morass of perturbation, the incomprehensibility and Peter's word, the indeterminacy, right, of the undulating nature of so-called experience, well, makes it actually impossible to be anything at all, be anywhere at all, be of a certain nature, even though astrology and human design systems and tarot and, you know, all have their curious, right, playful, poetic contribution to the bizarritude of, you know, human behavioral systems. See how quickly the miracle of what I'm referring to as root sensibility tells a story, animates. Now, it doesn't animate, if I dare say, it doesn't animate through it. It only animates through reference.
Biology.
No. No. Right. Yeah. It animates through reference. Without reference, what? This needs.
Got nothing. I can't say what you said.
Ungots. You got
ungots.
Yeah. Right. Without the narrative, which is the existential, the appearance of an existential split or separation between the so-called immediacy of indeterminacy and a story told about it, right? It's that same curious split of the profundity of yourself being insufficient, and so the imagination of yourself appears in the profundity of yourself, and now you're a schizophrenic asshole with ungots. and you've just become inconsolable and intolerable.
Ungots.
And that's where the seekers seekers dwell. That's how we seekers roll. Inconsolable and intolerable. Fuck.
here and tell them so.
I'm trying. That's right. My guru told me, oh, you want to be useful? I made the mistake of saying, sure. I should have said no. Not my problem. But I was like, oh, yeah, sure. He said, well, let everyone know they got ungots. I was like, I'll give it my best shot. I should have said no. It is, yeah. You tell them. You tell them they got ungots. And if they don't believe you, you tell them to talk to me. You're dead. Well, now you're on your own, asshole. Now it's up to you. See if you can convince them with what you're made of. Right. I got nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Mine is just a path of indulgent failed devotion. Shit. That's bad. It's bad. At least when he talked to his guru, when Prahlad talked to his guru, the big guy with the big feet and the coming out of the blah, 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 won't I ever amount to anything? And his guru told him, he said, through you a great work will be done. Right? When I said to him, won't I ever amount to anything? He was like, no. I shouldn't have asked. He was compelled to tell the truth. But master, won't I ever amount to anything? No. Oh, fuck. I came all this way. And what did I end up with? Ungots. If you end up with something, it's imagined. Doesn't mean you can't take it to the bank. You can take it to the bank. I don't know if you'll earn any interest on it. I want to end up with something. What? Ah, a little peace, a little, you know, some enlightenment. You know, well, just, I'm not greedy. Just like, you know, that much. No, sorry.
Not for the likes of you.
Not for the likes of you. You know, if you have the good fortune to go see like a real guru, like a real one, you know, that real guru is going to ask you a question. If it's a real guru, he, she, it, I don't care if it's inanimate. That guru is going to ask you a question. What's that question going to be? I'll tell you what it's going to be. How much irrelevancy can you take? That's it. If your guru doesn't ask you that question, find another guru. If your guru fails to ask you that question in one way or a million, how much irrelevancy can you stand? If you don't hear that, move on. Because you're in the hands of a poser. A poser. Which, and thank God they're easy to find. Getting easier by the minute. Posers are us.
We're going to start an anti-enlightenment group.
We have.
Poser.com.
You see, the moment. And it's not even a moment, because it happened. It happened long before you even considered it. So you can't even say it's a moment, because it happened before you even took notice of it. The moment that this is something, you've got a relevancy problem. If this is something, you got a relevancy problem. You're not going to solve that by doing Vipassana or Bhastrika. It's not going to help. It might clear your sinuses. It's not going to liberate you from the myth of relevancy. I have a relevancy problem. Knock, knock. Who's there? My relevance. Relevant who? That's what I want to know. Liberation isn't from anything, but the collapse of having a relevancy problem could turn out to be somewhat relevant to you. It's too fast. It's too smart. It's smarter than you are, though it is you. And you're like, oh, I'm glad something's smarter than I am. But it keeps outsmarting me. And I, you know, toil through the biological day with a relevancy problem. Ouch. Oof. Yikes. Hey, I'm a person. No, you're just a ghost with a relevancy problem. Are you a real guru? Yes, I am. I'm going to test you. Test away. Ask me a question. No. No, come on, ask me a question. How much relevancy can you stand? Ah, a real guru. Sometimes you got to nudge them a little bit. You know, you got to pressure them. They want to know how serious you are. They're not just going to give you the best they got if you're casual. Why? Right? I mean, even Jesus said something about pearls and stones and shit like that, right? Right? Cast stones before swine, pearls, pigs. Don't cast your pigs before your stones. You got a nice set of stones, go for the pearls. Something like that. Yeah. There's got to be bacon in there somewhere because this is America. How much irrelevancy can you take?
Not much.
Okay. At least it's honest. There's a big step. Just like not much, far out. This is not a heroic adventure. It's more like candor is much more powerful than heroism in this shit. Really it is. Heroism is, you know, it's got too much Dudley Do-Right going for it. You want to just be like, I'm so fucked. That's more powerful. Way more. I'm so fucked.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. See, authenticity mutates into wonder. Bullshit just stays bullshit. Not my rule.
I got this.
Yeah.
I can handle.
Yeah. Authenticity is a solvent for bullshit. And by virtue of being a solvent for bullshit, it has a chance to mutate into wonder. Bullshit just stays bullshit. It doesn't mutate. It can't.
Defended.
Yeah. It can't.
I'm wondering if the authenticity is, I mean, I'm analyzing.
What else we got?
If the authenticity is actually part and parcel of the authenticity.
Let's hope so.
So that that's where it has the ability to basically free you from the bullshit.
Mm-hmm. I'll go with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were if you were serving that at a barbecue, I would take two.
Okay. Now I feel bad.
Why?
You're placating me. Now, come on.
Would I do that? Look, you're just like 007. 007 has a license to kill. You have a license to dream. So whatever you pluck from this is fantastic.
The word truth is sort of like, for me,
yeah,
similar to authenticity, and I feel as though that is that actually is valid.
Yes.
So I'm giving it a validity.
Yes.
Where
yes.
In most cases, no.
There you go. There's the reflex of creating relevancy. Because in some way, psychically, spiritually, practically, it's pleasing. It's pleasing to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pleasing to elucidate, to feel, relevancy.
Yeah.
Pleasurable.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm. And it's something for the mind to, like, occupy itself that is not offensive.
Okay. Again, look, all this is doing is telling stories about itself to itself. And if we're intelligent and we've read some stuff and had a handful of way the fuck out conversations, well, we become more entertaining. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, Longchenpa for some was, the high end of entertainment. Zog Chenish entertainment. Why not? Why not? Does it make anything?
What else is there?
It's not like he said anything that was particularly true. But when you start let's say chilling out with the whatever the fuck this is, you could end up with some pithy remarks. You could say cool shit like, "How much irrelevancy can you stand?" Nirmanakaya, Sambhogakaya, Kayakaya.
They're pithy in their own language.
Yeah, everything's pithy in their own way.
Yes. Time is a trap. That's what it is. It's
Boy,
a trap.
It is a trap. It's the trapless trap. As trapless traps go, time is the worst trapless trap of them all. It's been completely irrelevant. Says me. I read it in Longchenpa.
But it feels relevant, so therefore it's a trap.
Be here now. You know what Ram Dass says. If we do anything, and we're not so good at it, you could say make fun of, right? Make self fun of, or each other, which is always more fun. Make fun of the improvisational nature of being. The improvisational nature of, thinking anything, believing anything. Saying anything.
It's like a roasting of consciousness.
It's like a roast. Yeah.
Consciousness.
That's right. If there were no past, what the fuck difference does it make how you feel now? if there was no future, what the fuck difference does it make how you feel now? If how you feel now becomes either an obstacle of attraction or aversion, it's because you've imagined that it, right? It was before now and or will persist. You imagine that how you feel now is the consequence of one or a million things, you know, karmic, medical, mood, astrology, five element acupuncture, and that Trump, and that somehow experience is binding. That, right, that sense, that incredible sense, magical power, city that we have, that this does, to take this juicy, undulating, incomprehensible, indeterminate, presently appearing weirdness and go, whoop, I know how this came about. I know where this is going. Now you're toast.
Get to listen to yourself.
Right. Joy, joy.
And then you get to say, what a fuck. What
the
fuck I am.
There you
keeps
go.
Keeps you entertained.
There you go.
You know. Entertaining.
Yeah.
Ceaselessly entertaining.
Pretty much ceaselessly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's not, you know, it's not, let's say, a deliberate, effortful commitment to past and future. It's not. The dream of past and future comes with. It's on tap. What effort does one need to make for, whoop, you know, a horizon of time to occur in mind spontaneously? No effort at all. The horizon of time appearing spontaneously, impersonally, effortlessly in what we might refer to as mind is the banality of self. The burden of relevance. Well, how am I going to find my keys? How am I going to drive? How am I going to go to work? I don't know.
It's all automatic.
It's on autopilot.
You're right.
It never had anything to do with you anyway. So what makes you think that if you completely fall apart at the seams, anything will change? Well, there you go. It's not like relevancy actually is actually ever relevant. It just suffers from constant self-defense. You never become relevant. You never do. You just end up in perpetual defensiveness. To the so-called grave. And now that the juice is loose, there's a better chance you might get there sooner.
He has to October. Has to October.
OJ. Oh, OJ. That's why they call
him the juice. Is that correct?
Yes. OJ.
Yeah.
The juice. Yeah, you can find everything out you want to know.
Well, yeah, you can go watch. They just have made all these movies about it. Yeah.
Yes.
The idea of this notion of action, we're action machines, or what's that? I'm going to say action figures.
Yes, the action figure.
But it seems like you could say that dropping the action is even an action. But
yes,
it seems to me if it's a conscious dropping of action, who knows?
There's nothing but the profundity of this living, and then the commentary.
Yeah.
Right. You could say that.
I think that there is something that's not action that reveals truth.
Sounds like a cover of a book.
It's too sluttery.
I mean, the instinct is there. There's no quarrel that the instinct is there. But the instinct, I would say, is more devastating than the cover of the book. Right? Yeah. Because the instinct is annihilating of the myth of self. The cover of the book is like, oh, good, another read. Right? I mean, if you can write, if you can write The Next Power of Now, I'll quit your fucking job and hole up in a closet and get that sucker done.
The power of then.
Power of now. Power of bacon.
Coach.
The fun part is this without narrative. And that doesn't have to be a steady state, because there's no such thing. It's not like you have to pretend to be Gary Weber and have no thoughts. That's just a guy on a poser list. See that the remarkable nature of so-called present experience, sensibility, sentience, is absolute absence. Its nature is absence. Start there. That's Longchenpo. Start there. Start, boom, right there. Boom, absence. Radiant being. Start there. Then we can strip away all the horseshit. Which is different than trying to strip away horseshit to get to absence. Stop wasting your fucking time. Absence, dude. Absence. Mastered? I think you're on something.
We don't need the 10 steps to
No. Absence. You don't need no steps to absence. Right? So... See, that's a sublime, right? That's a sublime instinct.
So that's before all presuppositions are hung up on presuppositions.
Well, it's good to be hung up. It's good to be hung up on something.
You're bringing nothing. You're bringing nothing to.
You're bringing nothing to the table.
To play nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Mind to get onto.
Ungots.
Fucking
fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, shut the fuck up.
Doesn't everybody want to hear what I'm thinking? No. Well, that's how to make friends. If you give me a snack, I will give you 2 minutes of my attention. Better be good. 2 minutes goes fast. If there are no objects appearing in attention, There's no subject to see them.
Or vice versa. First
or vice versa. I go both ways. And that's the nature of whatever presence is. It's its nature. It's done. You're done. You're toast. You're cooked. You're irrelevant. You're absent. You're everything you might have ever hoped for. Bada boom, bada bing. But then the narrative pours in and convinces emptiness of, like, you know, wearing a nice tuxedo. Hey, you look really great in that tuxedo. You think so? You think so? Now you're screwed. So that's what this does all the time. Hey, you look really fantastic. You think so? Oh, you're fucked. Don't let it convince you of how marvelous you look. Don't let it convince you that you are anything at all, that about which anything could be spoken. You look fantastic. Oh, really? Oh, really? Well, now I've got a lot of ideas. I knew you would. As soon as I complimented you, I knew you'd have a lot of ideas. Psh, that was easy. Took another one down.
7,499,999,999
to go. No, that was a strain. Are you the product of anything? No. You're not the product of anything. You're not the consequence of anything. No. Even here at Ground Zero, the fantastic Pebble Hill Church, where all consciousness began.
Yeah, that's what they've been wanting from you all along. You're really delivering.
That's right. Sing our praises, motherfucker. I certainly will. Pebble Hill Church, where consciousness began. White Judeo-consciousness. Judeo-Christian consciousness. You have this, you know, scintillating impossibility of attention. And it's like, geez, fuck, how do I get rid of this? Ew. But you can't wipe it off. You can't get rid of it. Well, then you may as well turn it into a religion. And then kill some people. Yeah. Turn it into a religion. Get some territory. Kill some people. Build an empire. Yeah, this is working for me. I couldn't get rid of it, so I started an empire and killed a bunch of people. And now I'm heading for Mars.
Trying to be relevant in 3 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they're heading to Mars.
Right. Now that we've conquered this shithole and made it uninhabitable, we're going to Mars. We're going to make Mars great again.
I'm cool if all the rich people want to go to Mars.
I'm cool with it. Yeah, that's nice. Hey, see ya.
Yeah, see ya.
Now 1% gets to go.
Yeah, the 1% gets to go to Mars. That's right. I love it.
Let's at least die in peace.
Yeah. That's right. What was the topic tonight?
Irrelevant.
There you go.
I thought it was that. You look good.
You look marvelous. And you've got some really great ideas.
And the juice.
Watch out for the juice.
Watch out for the juice. The juice.
We like to do current events.
We like to be safe.
Circle time.
You know, make sure. Yeah.
That's right.
There's a killer on the loose.
Yeah. That's the Doors.
That's so current.
Pebble Hill, the seat of consciousness, thanks you for your generous contribution.
Bottomless pit.
Just throw it down. Or
just throw it down. We'll pick up what you're putting down. Make sure it gets into the right hands. Thanks for stopping in. I hope this was helpful to you.
Know what I have to do.
Now you know what you have to do.
Boy, the juice on the way.
Now I know what I have to do.
I don't remember.